Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi. Menachos Pei Vav, we begin on the bottom line on Pei Yom and Beis. Ein Revin Loim Beis HaSvolim, so the Mishnah instructs us to find, to seek the best quality in terms of the olives for olive oil production, for the use of the carbonates, of the menachos. And the Mishnah speaks about something called anpaktan. You're not meant to bring that type of product, which is actually very acidic. It's oil squeezed from very unripe olives that haven't yet even reached a third of their growth. So you shouldn't use that, but the Mishnah says, vimhevi kasher, if you did it, it works, it's okay, it's still kasher. Atanya says the Gemara, but we have a brisa which tells us that it's totally off the mark. Ein mevin anpaktan, never to bring this premature olive oil. Maybe parsley, if you bring it, it doesn't work, because it's not oil. It's just acid. It's not edible. Meshu sarav, perhaps barely edible. It's not really shemen, as Rashi says. Ve'ena shemen, and the Mishnah says it is. Amar Rav Yosef Lekasha. There's really a difference of opinion, different approaches to this anpaktan material. Harav Echia, Rav Echia would totally reject it. He wouldn't bother eating it. He didn't deem it edible. And likewise, it's not really kosher for menachos as well. However, Ha Rav Shimon bar Rebbe, the Mishnah, which deems it, oil. Barely, right? That's going to Rav Shimon, the son of Rabbi, Rabbi Danasi. As we find, Rav Chiya Zarek, Rav Chiya would just toss it out, he would just spill it out, he wouldn't bother eating it. Rav Shimon bar Rebbe, Matbubay. On the other hand, Rav Shimon would dip his bread into it, he would still try to salvage it. Simonach, to remember who's who, Ashir Mekamsin, typically wealthy people, more frugal. They value their money, their possessions, more than an ordinary person. So Rav Shimon, who was the son of Rav Yudan Nasi, was very wealthy, would actually try to salvage this problematic material, whereas Rav Chiya wouldn't bother with it. And in fact, these two approaches are reflected in the Mishnah and the Brice, the Mishnah which says kosher, because it's considered technically oil, it can pass as oil. The Brisa does not consider it as such. In fact, the Brisa calls it Saraf. Saraf. Okay, on this topic, we go to the Megillah. Shisha Chadosha Mishemen Hamor. For 6 months, they anoint themselves with Shemen Hamor in preparation for the audience with the Achashverosh. What exactly is Shemen Hamor? We have two explanations. My Shemen Hamor, Rabbeinu Barchi Amar Saktakta, that's the Afarsamoin, very fragrant oil. Rabbi Yirmbam Amar, actually, it's the same oil we were just talking about. It's the acidic olive oil. Shemen zayis, it's olive oil extracted from very young olives. Shiloh hevi shlish, before it reached a third of its growth, which helps smooth out the skin. The acidic effect burns out the hair, etc. Tanya, in fact, Rabbi Doimer, he said the same, that ampaknon, he called it ampaknon, it's the same idea, is shemen zayis. Shiloh hevi shlish is this, premature oil. Lo masochen oisa, what's the purpose of anointing it, of using it on one's skin? Shemesher saseir, it's used as a hair removal tool. Uma adenes abaser, and it enhances the skin. Ein mevin men agargen shosh b'mayim, you don't extract oil from olives that need to be soaked in water, because that's not proper oil. Tan rabbanon shemezayis kavush, if it was pickled olives, shala cooked, shari soaked, shal shmarim, or you sort of squeeze oil residue out of the shmarim, out of the sediment of the olive oil, vishal reyachra, or it exudes a unpleasant odor. All these are not really suitable for carbon use. Lo yavi, maybe if you did it possible, it doesn't work. It's so blemished, it's so off the mark, it's so not suitable. Boy Rabba Higdishai, Maushil Ka'olav. Now we know, we had the same question yesterday, we know that if a person designates an animal which has a mum to be used as a carbon, So not only is it unsuitable, but there is malchus as well. It gets malchus for doing so. What about designating these improper materials for carbon use? They're deficient, but technically they're not really blemished. So does it get malchus? Mishum balmum. Shall we say, given the puzzle, since they're deficient and unsuitable, kibalmum dummy, we track them, we label them like a balmum, in which case, if you're magdashit, you get malchus. I don't know, you can say, no, ain balmum ela bebehema, the concept of a blemish only applies to a living being, an animal, but not when it comes to these materials. Take it, we'll leave it unresolved. Okay, on the topic of olive oil, comes the Mishnah, tells us, actually, there are different productions, there were different stages in production, there were different batches, there were different harvestings of olives, and each one had its own system, and some were considered suitable for mincha, some were even suitable for the menorah, which needs a much higher level of purity, has to be shemen zayis zach, pure kasas, just merely crushed, not ground, not, you got to try to get the most pure and filtered oil. Says the Mishnah, Shloisha Zeisim Hain. So how do we go about this? Firstly, there were three batches. There were three times that they would harvest olives. The first was the top layer of the tree, which got the most sun exposure and ripened the first. That was the first harvest. Then came the middle of the tree, and later on, you'd get to the material on the bottom. Now, each harvest, right, each group, each batch, would undergo three sort of steps in the extraction of the olive oil. The first one was the most pure, just a simple crush, and the oil that it oozes out is considered the most pristine oil. That's a bit of an error. And then comes level B and comes level C, which were not fit for menorah use, only for menachas. Okay, so each batch had three levels, A, B, and C. A was for menorah, B and C for menachas, depending on its level of purity and quality. Shloisha Zeisim Hain, there were three batches of olives, three times they would harvest. And each one of these categories, we had Shloisha, Shloisha Shmanim, three steps in the production process, oil production process, which resulted in three levels, three categories, three qualities, A, B, and C. Okay, let's start with the first batch, Hazayis HaRishon. Where do you get that material? From the top of the tree. Megagre b'shazayis, it's picked off the top of the tree. And you take it, v'kaisesh, you do a quick crush, just an easy crush, not too serious, not too intense, so that only the purest of the oil comes out at that point. V'chassal, you take the crushed olive, place it in the basket, for it to filter out, and whatever drips out is the best of the best. Rabbi Daimus Fius Hassal, he says it's not placed on the bottom. You put it along the sides of the wall of the basket so that it has that extra filtering, process. By putting it on the side, the oil would filter down the sides, and it would add to the cleansing, and then drip out the bottom. So this is the first top quality. This is what we call 1A, right? It's the first batch, 1, and it's A, first squeeze of that batch. Now comes level 2. Okay, the next step in extraction of these very same olives, which will get you oil, but on a lower quality level. It will be called B. Chazar v'toyin b'kir, goes back and he places the kir, the heavy beam, on these crushed olives. Rabbi Doimi Bavonim uses stones, which is a more delicate process, which will produce oil which is less laden with sediment, right? As opposed to the kutter, which sort of weighs down on it and just, pushes out more of the residue. In any case, zesheni. Now you've got your second production. So that would be called B. Chazar v'tachon v'tal. You come back and you actually grind the remaining skins, and you do again a ton, you run the beam over it. Zeshlishi, that gets you to your third dose of oil, which we'll call level C. So this is all within the first batch. You have A, B, and C. Arishan, number A is the menorah, fit for the menorah, the purest. Bashar and B and C are the menachas for menachas use. Now comes batch 2. Hasheni, the second batch. Megagre b'rishagag. that's taken off the section of the tree which is parallel to your rooftop, which is the middle of the tree. Pretty much we're going to repeat the same process, do a crush, in the put it in the basket, we don't even see the hasal on the sides of the basket, that's level 1. Okay, so that's level A. We're at batch 2, but level A in terms of the first squeeze. Toin Bekira. Okay, then he puts the he weighs the, you know, the beam on it. Rabidami Bavanim at stones, Asheni, that gets you to the second extraction, that we'll call it B, Chazav Batachan Atan, and he comes back, grinds it up again, Batan, and puts the heavy beam down, Zeo Shlishi. That's the third extraction, Harishain, so number the A is Lamanoira, Vashar, B and C, Lamanachit, Shlishi. Okay, the third harvest is as follows, Oitin Beis Abad. So these are the olives on the bottom of the tree, which aren't really fully ripe and fully ready for squeezing. So he takes the olives, oitnei, lets them sit in the base of bad till they soften and get moist, and you know, achilka, until it gets to that point of it softens to the point that it's ready for a squeeze. Umaleyu, he takes them up to the outdoors, nagva b'rosh hagag, and dries them up on the top of the on the roof, make sure that the moisture is gone. Now he has just soft olives, and then he runs it through the same A, B, and C production. Koseish, he does a crush. Venoisen se chasal, stores it in the basket. We then see the sal on the sides. Arishon, that gets you A. Toin b'chayra, with the beam, you get B. With the mavanim, with stones, rashen, that gets you B. Chazav tachamaton, the shlisha gets you C. Shem menorah, A is good for the menorah, purus, vashah, the rest, B and C, the menachas. Iboilu, now comes a question in terms of spelling. We had that first batch, which is Megagroi. He finds it Broish Hazai. What does Megagroi mean? Iboilu. Megagroi Tnan, was it spelled Megagroi? So he picks it one at a time, and as they're ripening, and Megagroi Tnan, or does he allow them to sit here until they fully ripen? He does it all as one, which is a more advanced, you know, stage of ripening. Tashma, comes a Braisa, which actually uses the word Megagroi, which clarifies this point. Tisanyo. Shem and Zayis, Mizesi. Olive oil for the menorah is meant to be mizesei. It's meant to come right out of the olive. Meaning it's not meant to be, you know, squeezed out of the skins. It's meant to have olives which are laden with oil. And that allows the oil to just simply come out using a simple crush. So basically leave it out there until it's fully laden with oil, fully ripe. Where just a simple crush will produce that pure oil for the menorah. The Pesukim explain, we learned this from the term Shemen Zayis. Why does it say Shemen Zayis? Because the truth is that the term Shemen in Torah typically refers to Zayis. So Shemen Zayis is additional emphasis to tell you that it's the Zayis that will produce. It's almost like you have, you know, you have table grapes and you have wine grapes, right? So here as well, it's meant to be at a point where the olive is ready to just ooze out its oil, which will yield really nice, high-quality, pure oil. Mikan Amro. So based on this we learn that the following method of extraction is meant to be used, allowing the oil to come out in a very pure, pristine form for the menorah, and the rest is for the menachis. Okay, so pretty much we repeat all the steps we discussed in the Mishnah. Zayis Rishon, so the first batch of olives comes from the top of the tree. The ripe one, Megalgaloi. Here we go, Megalgaloi. That resolves our question. So it's Megalgaloi. You have to let it out there until it all ripens properly. And then you pick it, Bush as Zayis. We can't say, bring it into the olive press, by Sabbat, Batechon Berechayim. So interestingly, there is already one difference. Because in the Mishnah, initially, it's just a crush. Kaitzesh. Here it says, in order to get level A, you're already grinding it. Okay, so we'll dwell on that in a minute. V'noyis nebisalin. And he puts it into the basket. Into the basket. And allows oil to run out. Shemen hayitzim menu, the oil that comes out, zahayirishan, this is level A. Ton bekoira, pressed with the beam, shemen, now this new oil is B. Shemen hayitzim menu, zahayishin. V'chazer par ton, takes them all out and he grinds them up, again under the beam. That gets you level C. Zahayishlishi. Harishan, so level A for menaira, that's the most pristine for menaira. Shan, the rest, BNC l'menachis. Okay, so that's the first batch. V'chein zayis sheni, and this very exact process is applied to the second category, the second batch of olives as well. V'zayis shlishi, however, when it comes to the third batch, which needs to be treated a little bit more harshly to get the oil out. So again, this one has to be softened and let to sort of rot a little bit. Oitne v'sabad, you leave it sitting there in the Beisabat Achiyilk until it softens and it gets mushy, umala, the Rosh Hagag, then takes it outside, Vaisaisikmin Tamara, piles it up like in a pile, like a Tamara, like a date, narrow on top, wide on bottom, Ashizuva Meimav, to allow the moisture to run out, and then it's ready for a press. Vukoinsoi, Lebeisabat, he takes it into the olive press, Vatoichanai grinds them up, Barachayim in the millstone, Vaisne Vesalin, then takes that mush into the puts it into the baskets, the sheminitim menu, and the first oil that drips out zayirishin. This is category A, level A. That's for the menorah ton bekoira. Then he puts it onto the heavy beam for the second production sheminitim menu. The oil that comes out of him now zayirishin. That's product B, parak. He unloads the material, takes it out chazar v'tach, and then re-grinds it, v'tan, and then places it under the heavy beams. Zeishlishi, this gets you to the final, last and final olive extraction of the season. Harishon menorah, so level A is for the menorah, v'ashar and the rest, l'menachis. So with the Omer, skip the grinding. Instead of grinding it, he would simply Ela koitoy machteshes. So koitoy of Yehuda, you would never the Tanakhama spoke about, even the first extraction is done by way of grinding. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. It is loy hoyetoychnai. Instead of grinding them, he would just give them a crush, crush them in the mortar, right, to get the pure oil. So that's his first disagreement, right? Level A cannot be achieved by way of grinding, merely by way of a quick crush. And regarding level 2, he disagrees as well. Instead of using a kaira, a heavy beam, al-mahvanam, you use just stones. And thirdly, regarding placing them in a basket to allow the oil to filter out, instead of placing it on the bottom of the basket, place it along the sides, on the walls, to allow for that extra filterization. Okay. So basically, we have machlekes in the Gemara between Tanakhama and Yehuda. Tanakhama says even level A can be achieved by way of grinding. Rabbi disagrees; it has to be a crush only. We have another point. Tanakhama speaks about just putting the material into the basket or wherever. Rabbi insists on using the walls, and Tanakhama speaks about using the koira. Rabbi says the stones. Now, what about our Mishnah? See, it's interesting to note that in our Mishnah, even Tanakhama was careful in terms of instructing us how to crush that first crush. He said it had to be crushed only, not ground, which is pretty much picking up Rabbi Yehuda's opinion in this price on that point. But then when it comes to placement in the basket, the Al Mishnah doesn't discriminate. He said just put it in the basket. Rabbi Yehuda's the one who says put it on the walls. So who's the which opinion is reflected in our Mishnah? It's not really fully Rabbi Yehuda. It's not fully the of the Brisa, nor is it the Tanakhama of the Brisa. So again, in the Braisa we have machlek. Tanna Kamma says, even that first level can be achieved by way of grinding. Rabbi Yehuda says crushing. Tanna Kamma says put it in the basket anywhere. Rabbi Yehuda says on the walls. Now in our Mishnah we sort of picked and chose. We insist on crushing and not grinding. But anywhere in the basket's okay. Hogabakashi. Now, by taking a look at our Mishnah, it seems to be inherently a contradiction. How do you achieve that first squeeze? By merely crushing. Kaisesh. Mani, who's speaking? Whose opinion is that? Rabbi Yehuda. That's like Rabbi Yehuda in the Braisa, who says you can only crush. No grinding. To get that first, extraction. Rabbi Yehuda. But when it comes to placement in the basket, Teichas, I'll put it anywhere in the basket. That's like the Rabbanan in the Gemara. I saw on the Rabbanan. As opposed to Rabbi Yehuda says, put it on the walls. So, where are we going? Says the Gemara exactly as such. It's a third opinion. It's a third chinta. Who picked and chose? Hai Tana, the opinion, now Mishnah. On the one hand, he adopted Rabbi Yehuda's crushing element versus Rabbi Yehuda's basket element. So, in terms of crushing versus grinding, on that he went with Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Regarding the exactly what to put in the basket, he wasn't insistent on putting on the sides. Anywhere is fine, unlike Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, so bottom line is, for the menorah, we need the purest of the pure. Shem and Zay Zach Kasas Lamar. For the menachas, you can use the less pure as well. We discussed the three harvests, the three batches of olives, each one going through three steps to achieve oil of various degrees of quality, right? So we had sort of A, B, and C. A is for the menorah, B and C is good for the menachos. Bottom line is we have 9 different products here, right? The three harvests, let's call them 1, 2, and 3, which within each one we have A, B, and C. Now in terms of pairing them up, so you have a choice between 1B and 3. Which one do you prefer? Says the Mishnah, we'll tell you exactly how to line it up. So basically, the first batch, that's the best quality olives, which produce the highest quality oil. Batch B is one step down, and batch C is one step below that. And within each batch, of course, we have the three levels. That's how it lines up. So it results in the following graph. Says the Mishnah, Harishon Shebarishon, so the first of the first, the best of the best. So that would be, in our code, it would be 1A, right? A is the top level, extracted from 1, from the first batch, so it's 1A. A in the Malamera, that's the best you can get. You can't get better than that. Hasheni Shebarishon. Next one down is 1B, right? The first batch, second production. So that lines up with the first of the second batch, which we would call B1. So A2 parallels B1. Okay, so now you know they're on the same level. Harsheni Shebarishon. Varishon Shebarishon is Shavan. Hashlishi Shebarishon. Let's go back to batch 1. Third level, so it's 1C. That lines up with Vasheni Shebarishon, with the second of the second batch, which is 2B. So 1C and 2B and 3A line up. Barishon Shebarishon and the first of the third batch, Shavan, they all line up with each other. Shlishi Shebarishon, so the third of the second batch, so it's 2C. Vasheni Shebarishon, the second of the third batch, which is 3B. So 2C and 3B. Line up, Shavan, Hashlishi Bashlishi. A third of the third, which is 3C. Ein Matemenu, you can't get more inferior than that. That's the bottom of the barrel. So basically, if you have a choice between this and that, you know which way to go, depending on their respective levels of quality. Fine. Continues the Mishnah. Truthfully, you would think that even a mincha needs the best of the best. Af kol ha-manochis ho-yubedin. It would make sense that even oil for the mincha needs to be the purest of the pure, just like the menorah. Shitano Shemen Zayizach needs the purest olive oil. Why? Based on a kol b'chomer. Ma menorah shen lachi. Look, oil from menorah is not meant for consumption. So purity, perhaps, is not such a critical factor. Still, tuna Shemen Zayizach needs to have the purest. Of course, menorah shen achila, oil which is in the mincha, which is foodstuff, which is something which is consumed. So in consumable goods, you put in good quality materials, right? And then, wouldn't you think she'd anu shem zayzach, where there as well it should need the purest, high quality oil? Now, although we're talking about the mizbeach eating it, but nevertheless, when you present, when you offer, when you give a carbon, it's meant to be best quality. And if it's a food item, you give the best quality food. That's what I would think. Tamaloymar comes the pasuk zach kasas lamar. Lamar, only for lighting. Vein zach kasas, this type of high quality, pure olive oil, which comes about by merely just crushing kasas, lamanachas, that's not meant. Vein zach kasas lamanachas, you don't need it for the manachas. Now, the Mishnah gave us an equation. 1b equals 2a. Shavin, they're on the same level. I thought that only only A's work for the minor. Here you're telling me that 1b is equal to 2a. Now 2a has an advantage. It goes to the minor, which 1b doesn't have. So yeah, perhaps in terms of quality, they're on the same level, but since it wasn't extracted in a manner which is suitable for menorah, menorah needs to have kasas only by a crush. If you do more than that, it's unsuitable. So how can you equate them? Shavin v'amrish, you told me, rishon menorah, only the first step. Production A works for the menorah, v'ashar menachas, and B and C works for menachas only. And here you're equating B to A, 1B is like 2A. Amrach v'amrish, it's like my shavin shavin menachas. When we equate them and line them up, you're right. We're talking about in terms of quality for mincha use. But certainly for the menorah, it has to be kasas lamar, which is unique to the first step, to all the A's and not the B's. Av kol ha-menachas ha-yibedin, tana rabban, zach. The pasuk calls it zach. En zach, what does zach mean? El-naki, pure, pristine. Rabbi Daimer, the pasuk also calls it kasas. What does kasas mean? That the oil is extracted merely by a crush, not by grinding. And not by, en kasas, kasas means el-kasas, only crushed. Now, once we establish that the menorah requires this extra super pure oil, but the menachas don't, perhaps let's take it to the other extreme. You can't. Maybe you can't use it for menachas. It's possible for menachas. Torah designates this for the menorah and nothing else. We have another pasuk. For the menachas. The pasuk refers to kasas, even for menachas, so you can use it. So why does the Torah designate kasas only for the menorah? El b'nei chisachin, to save us money. My chisachin, what's the significance of that? I'm a blazer. Ha Torah chasa al maman sheyisrael, fine. Throughout the Torah was concerned about unnecessary spending of money, of either shigel. And the Mepharshim explains that the menorah was just a one-day event. It was a defined amount of oil, so that needed to be the highest quality. But menachas, which are a constant phenomenon, the Torah allowed, you could use it, but allowed even lesser quality in order to spare that extra expense. Sav es b'nei Yisroel, right? The pasuk says that you should command b'nei Yisroel, b'kol lechem Shemen Zayizach, they should bring to you Elech, this olive oil for the menachas. Elech, what's the point of the word Elech? It's for you. It's meant for your sake, for Klal Yisrael's sake. It's not for me, Hashem says. It's, I don't need this light. I don't need this light. Rather, it's meant to be a testimony of your commitment, of your dedication, of your cleaving to Hashem, as we're going to see in a minute. In fact, the placement of the menorah indicates as such. It's not meant for Hashem. Because in the Heichal we had a table, a shulchan, full of bread. Now typically you put the lamp near the bread so you can eat and enjoy your food. But here the menorah was on the other side, to highlight that it's not meant for Hashem's benefit. Right? So, shulchan b'tzafayin. In fact, the shulchan is on one side. Menorah is all on the other side, b'darim. In the middle you have the mizbeach, which highlights this point. Amar b'zik, Amar b'lazer, once again, loy l'achila nitzarech. Bread on the shulchan is not meant for my consumption, says Hashem. I don't need that food, nor the light of the menorah. In fact, the pasuk describing the construction of the Heichal describes the windows that were fashioned in a very unusual way. Typically, a window, a light window, like a, you know, like a skylight, is constructed in a manner which, you know, produces the maximum amount of sunlight in the house. So it broadens, it gets wider as it faces the house, right? It could be this size on top, but then as it, the walls taper down, it tapers away, it widens so that there's more sunlight in the house. But here it was just the opposite. It was reversed. It was wide on the outside, narrow on the inside, to highlight that Hashem doesn't need this light. We're meant to get our oyer, our spirituality, our chizik, our guidance, our enlightenment from Hashem, from the Shechinah, from the Hechel. Vayas l'bayis, made for the bayis, the Hechel chaloini, windows shkufim atumim. What does that mean? Tana shkufim befnim. Towards the inside it was narrow, v'atum b'chutz, and the outside was wide. To highlight that loy lo'oiran, I don't need this light, says Hashem, it's for your benefit only. And the pasuk describing the location of the menorah says mechutz l'parichas ha'edus bo'el ma'ed. So the pasuk relates the menorah to edus, the testimony. Why? Edus hu l'chol bo'oiran. The menorah's functioning was an edus, serves as a testimonial to everybody out there in the world. That we have the Shechinah resting by us. How do you see that? We'll see in a minute. Well, if you'll say maybe it's for Hashem, what happened? For 40 years in the desert, how did they travel? Following the light, the fire of Hashem. So Hashem provided light. Hashem is a provider of light. Ella, rather, the point of the menorah is Eidus Ulchal Boy Olam. It provides as a constant testament Shechinah Shoyer B'Yisrael, that we have the presence of Shechinah by us. How do you see that in the menorah? My Eidus. Where is the Eidus? Amar Rabba, Zenema Rabbi. That's the Nema Rabbi, which was the middle. Some learn to be the middle of the seven lamps, which faced the Kedesh HaKadoshim westward. So all the other ones faced the middle, but this one faced west. And this was a very miraculous flame. On the one hand, you place the same amount of oil in this lamp like everybody else, a half a lug, so it wouldn't have an extra amount of oil, but it would burn way longer. It would burn continuously. 24 hours? And that provided the light source to burn, to light up the other candles, the other lamps. In fact, that was the last one that he would tend to. So Rashi explains that it would burn all day. So they would all go out, you know, in the morning, and this one would just keep on burning. In fact, towards evening, he would have to put it out and relight it and use that as the source for the next lighting. But in any case, this continuous burning, this constant Nema Ravi, was symbolic of the Shekhinah. It represented the Ashuras HaShekhinah that we were zecha to when we had the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, now we move on to locations. We discussed the seeking of the best materials for the karbonis. We discussed location, where to find the best soilus, where to find the best oil. Says the Mishnah, what about wine? What about wine for the nesach, for the pouring in the mizbeach? Where'd that come from? Keduchim, that was a place called Keduchim Atulin, another place. Keduchim Atulim, Alpha, these were the best. Best locations for wine, liyain. That those places produce the best wine. Shneil lehen, second best is Beis Rima, a place called Beis Rima. Ubeis Lavan Bahar, right? Either Beis Rima, Beis Lavan up in the mountain, Beis Kfar Signa, which was Ubika down in the valley. Now, technically, you could bring from anywhere, Kalar Tzayik, but they would prefer these locations for their, which are known for their high quality wine. Now you should be careful, don't bring from Eim Revi'in, Lomi Beis HaZvolim, from a vineyard which was heavily manured, you know, fertilized, Lomi Beis HaShlachim, or super dry, needs to be watered, it's not the best for growing, Lomi Mashin is renamed, nor from vines which have other things growing between them, which divert their nutrients. So it's not really preferred, but it works. From Havi, if he brings that wine, kosher works. Eim Revi'in Hal Yistain. You shouldn't bring wine which was produced from late harvest grapes, which stay on the, you know, vine longer and they end up sweetening more. That's not optimal. It may be kosher, but with the evidence works. It may be in Yosh, and you can't bring wine from last year's crop. David Rebbe, Chamei Machshirim, So old wine is no good. According to Chachamim, it's okay. Emin being like masik. You don't bring wine which is extra sweet, nor smoked, nor cooked. Maybe possible. In this case, it's really critical. Nor do you produce your wine from the loyos, the vines which have been sort of perched on these trellis, these, you know, element of raglios. Rather, you bring from the vines that sort of straddle the floor down on the earth. That's the best way to do it. Umenakrom avudim. You bring it from vineyards which have been properly cultivated. Okay, so now you have location, you have your grapes, you have your wine. What about storage? We have very specific instructions on that too, in order to maintain the high quality of the kinsnais and machatzam gdolim. Nor do you store those the wine machatzam gdolim in big barrels. Ela bechavis tanis, rather than small ones, to keep them preserved. Veinu malis achavis atpia. Even though small barrels should not be filled to the brim. You leave a little space to allow it to breathe. Kadesh Yerecha Noidev. In fact, that's why they use corks to allow the wine to breathe, so that the aroma has room to spread. Eina maybe amipia. Now, once you have the barrel stored away, you're ready to use the wine for the menaches. You open the spigot. Be careful, don't use the wine up on top. Now, kamachan, because there you'll find some like powdery white residue. Nor from the very bottom, because of the lees, the residue that sits there, the sediment. El maybe mishlishim emtzoi, bring it from the middle third, right in the middle. Keitzan hu boidek. So now he's running the wine and the filling up for the nosachim. How do you do that final inspection to make sure that you have good quality stuff? Hagizbar yeshim. So the gizbar, the one in charge, and the hegdash sits there, keeping a close eye, close watch on that wine that's running out of the barrel. He's holding this little stick. Zorak hagir, once the wine gets to the bottom and gear, like white stuff, starts coming out, that's from the shmarim. Hikish bekane gives a little click with his bang with his stick. That was a sign to stop, to shut the spigot. Why didn't he just say it? The Gemara will tell us a very interesting thing, that speaking in front of wine can harm the wine. Rabbi Ezra Rido Eimer, he says like this, Yayin sheyesh bei kmach and pasl. We spoke about avoiding the top layer, which has the kemachin. He says, actually, if you find kemachin in the barrel, the whole barrel is pasul. It's blemished. Shenemar tamimim yilchem umnecha. So we learned that mincha material has to be good quality, unblemished, without deficiencies. Tamimim yilchem niskeim. We learned that the nesachim, the wine as well, has to have that good quality element to it. Otherwise, it's like a balmum, which makes the whole thing pasul. In which case, he says, the whole barrel is unsuitable. Okay, so we spoke about the proper oil to be used, the way they produce the oil, various levels of production which yield the different degrees of quality, which ones are meant for the menorah, which ones are menachos. We spoke about the lighting of the menorah, which is a edus of the presence of Shekhinah B'Yisrael, and we started our discussion regarding sourcing the best quality wines. All the best to you, and Hatzlacha Rabbah.